Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I am one of your hosts, DM Neil.
And I am DM Mainprize, aka Beardmoniac.
Just kidding, I am DM Mainprize, aka Beardmoniac, and I am joined by
DM Neil, aka Jotemoniac.
There it is.
We have something special for you, the listener of DMnastics.
It is our 1 year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen.
True story. On 6/28 of 2015, we had our very first segment, and this is only a day later.
So that's pretty impressive. DMnastics was just an idea that I posted on the forums because I wanted to generate discussion and dialogue, and it grew into something absolutely amazing, and under the just faithful guidance of DM Neil, it has blossomed into the most glorious forum plant and forum podcast growth that you could ever imagine.
Ah, indeed. It's still the heart of the entire show is to interact with the forum users in a cool and interesting way and to showcase the awesome ideas that they have. So to do that, we are going to get in our Wayback Machine. Insert interesting noise here. And we're going to tackle DMnastics number one. This is before DMnastics even had numbers. It was just DMnastics. That's it.
Yeah. It was the one and only of its kind. It was kind of like the last dragon in that movie Dragonheart. But instead of it being the last, it was the first. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys, but it does to me. Anyways, this post, as Neil said, was posted way back yonder. So we have equipped our Wayback Machine to take us back through internet time to when it was originally posted by myself, DM Mainprize. The general idea for it I actually stole from the website called Reddit. It was a post that I saw in the RPG subreddit where this guy was posting what he called the GMnastics, where he would challenge people with various creativity ideas as well as just like having them break down how they would handle things at the table. So I thought, hey, I'll take this idea, bring it over to our forums and see if we can't make some use out of it. So the very first one was very simple. Basically, I just wanted people to create magic items based off just a name and the location that this item was found. And then they would come up with what these magic items did and what would happen if their players found them. So the three items we had was Thirst, just the name Thirst, and it was found in a desert temple. Then there was one called Beartooth, which was found in the forest. And lastly, one called Himlucrist, which was found in a chest at the bottom of the ocean. So this was before the internet had invented pictures. All we had was text. And So that's what the forum users had to come up with. And some of their ideas are absolutely brilliant.
Indeed. And to kick it off, essentially we'll bring to you the first DMnastics response that was ever written by DM Never. Or just Never. I always want to add DM when people don't add DM. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm supposed
to do that. It's just such a habit. I don't think we're supposed to.
Okay. I'm sorry, Never. It's just Never. And he brought Thirst, a ritual dagger used by the long dead priests of an ancient empire for preparing bodies for internment. The blade slowly absorbs all the moisture with which it comes into contact. Though this absorption is too slow acting to cause additional damage when wielded as a weapon, the blade is magical for the purpose of overcoming magic resistance.
Amazing.
Interesting.
Anytime you mention long dead priests, I'm on board. Let's just say that. So the next post was actually made by me. I just decided I'd throw out my ideas because I was a dummy and didn't put them in my original post. So one of my ideas was for Beartooth, and I said that Beartooth was a hide gauntlet worn on the forearm and that has teeth of a bear protruding over the knuckles. And this would allow a user to roll a d6 for unarmed strikes, and that those strikes would do piercing damage, and that damage would be considered magical, just like Never's, for this purpose of overcoming magical resistance.
Awesome. And just to throw it out there, pretty much everyone has filled out all three, but we have so many awesome responses, we figured we'd take one from each. So for this one, we'll tag in DM Chris to read his own entry.
Thirst. Thirst is a basin of water in the center of the desert temple. It is said to either refresh or dehydrate whoever drinks from it. The god who watches over the temple decides who is worthy of their thirst being quenched. Long after the party's water skins have been emptied, they will have no choice but to drink from it. They will either die from thirst if they don't, or have the chance to survive by drinking. Hopefully your players heard the stories and packed enough water for the return trip.
This next one was posted by NateHam44, and his idea was for Himlachrist. He says it is an intricately carved piece of whalebone, about 4 inches long. It can be worn as a necklace, but must touch the skin. The wearer gains limited telepathy with sea creatures, as well as the ability to summon sea creature, which he has with caps letters, so I assume that's a spell.
That's one for the great Rich Howard. Maybe he's NateHam44 and we just didn't know.
Maybe
that's
is.
That's not true. He has a username on here and everything. I lied. The next one up is by Nerdbilly Deluxe. And so for Thirst, he said, it was found in a desert temple, and this cursed water skin looks like a normal water skin, yet constantly refills itself. That doesn't sound cursed at all, but wait. The liquid inside smells and tastes like water, but is under an illusion spell and is actually wine that only dehydrates those who drink from it further.
Oh, that's dreadful.
Eesh.
And I don't even like wine.
Got him. So the next one up is from yours truly. It's me, by the way. And I picked Beartooth, and I said it is an amulet with a large tooth of its namesake that once attuned can grant the caster bear-like teeth and claws. This allows for a natural bite and swipe attack. Not sure how long it should grant it for, but think that the person might not be able to properly communicate while active.
Very nice.
Nice little touch of the good and the bad.
Yes, and possibly the ugly, depending on what those teeth look like.
Ooh, my mouth's too small.
My mouth's bleeding, Bert.
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! Bert, what do you know about that?
It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know if you guys seen it. It's great. Anyways, the next one comes from Almarian Knight, and he has one for Thirst as well. He says it is a cup that forces the drinker to continually drink whatever was put in it to be drunk. A legend says that the great orc chieftain, Zelf de Bog, drank a fine brew from it once. The poor orc became so drunk that he bloated and floated off into the arms of the gods. But some say that he still floats there, waiting to drop belly first upon an unlucky victim.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Also, that's Almarian Knight before he had a real username.
That guy. Guest status.
Throwing it back. Next one up is from Insightful Hedgehog. So for his bear tooth entry, it is legendary among thieves, is the bear tooth that lies at the center of the forest of dreams. It is said that he who holds it gains the strength of the bear from which it came. However, it is guarded closely by the dream watchers, beings who utilize illusions and sleep magic to make sure no one who enters the wood ever makes it to the center. Your players need the tooth in order to accomplish their quest. How far will they go? The item gives its wearer the strength of a bear and allows them to use their hands as natural weapons, as though they had claws.
Very nice. Very nice.
Hopefully it's a strong bear, because it says the strength of the bear it came from. Hopefully you don't get the short end of a stick right there.
Yeah, hopefully it was a bear who's been, you know, lifting his weights in the DMnastics gym. Our next one from Cat Charlie for Thirst says here, a small necklace with a sapphire in the shape of a teardrop found in the hands of a statue in the middle of a shrine. When Thirst is put into the mouth of the wearer, Thirst starts to leak clean water from the sapphire. The more the wearer sucks, the faster the water comes out. Thirst creates a few mouthfuls of water, but this is enough to keep the user hydrated for 24 hours and can be used once a day. The magic is refilled every morning with sunrise, when Thirst will be covered in dewdrops of the morning dew. How pleasant.
So, in true DMnastics fashion, and one thing that we typically tell people to do once they join the forums is to go, essentially go work out. We have entries for DMnastics number one as recently as a month ago. And the first of those is Half Acre of Fun. Awesome username. I don't know the context behind it, but I like it.
Huge tracts of land.
I'll keep doing Bear's Tooth because it's my favorite.
Okay.
So deep in a forest in the high reaches of Moradin's Wall, a massive mountain range in their world, you happen upon a small cave entrance shaped like the open mouth of a bear. dark cave shaped like the maw of a vicious bear, you say? What could go wrong? Well, unfortunately, the cave is full of insane druids, their leader a massive Goliath, who puts up one heck of a fight, but you manage to defeat him and claim his helm for your own. The head of a huge bear that was used to fashion the menacing-looking thing. And it requires attunement, but it's cursed, and if worn by a barbarian, it does not count as armor. And once during each long rest, the attuned is racked with nightmares of twisted, malformed bears and must make a DC 10 wisdom save. Each failure adds one to the save throw DC. After a successful save, the DC resets. If the attuned fails the DC 15 save, he becomes enraged, attacking the nearest creature or object. Once per long rest, invoke the spirit of the bear, gaining +2 strength for 1 minute. This adds +1 to the stacking wisdom save for the long rest. Ooh.
Very nice.
Marginally enticing. I like it because it's like, oh, I could use that too. Do I have a strong enough wisdom score? Can I do it without becoming enraged and smashing my friends in the middle of the night?
Worth it. Our next post, also very recent, posted on June the 1st, was from Golcan. And his for Ihimlochrist, he has it as a cursed item, and it states, in a metal strongbox at the bottom of the ocean lay Ihimlochrist. It is an octagonal prism mounted in a wire bracket. Looking through the prism shows you the truth about whatever you are looking at. Over time, what the truth prism shows you is slowly warped into more and more threatening visions. Eventually, users of Ihimlochrist become dangerously paranoid, constantly using it and reacting to the false information it relays. A nobleman acquired it and used it to try and gain standing at court, but eventually wound up in chains, a string of victims left in his wake. Somehow the Ihimlochrist always finds its way into positions of power, at least it did, until someone realized its dark power and cast it into the sea.
Dun, dun, dun. Like the Hope Diamond.
What? Yeah, I was about to say, I think the lady who threw it in the sea was that lady at the end of Titanic. She was like, this sank the ship, throw it over.
I can't take these visions anymore. Well, that's all we've got for DMnastics number one. But that's not all we've got. We figured it'd be a great idea to go ahead and contact previous guests and see what they had to say about DMnastics. I'm not going to lie, I didn't give them as much parameters as they might have needed, so here's what we got.
You've been warned.
My favorite part about DMnastics is the interactive relationship the show has with its audience. With the forums influencing the subject and content of each episode, it's clear that this is a show made possible by the fans and entirely for the fans. It's also a ton of fun to completely nerd out about world building for 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, Soul Collector from BattleBards here, and like many of you, between work and family, I just don't have the time I used to keep my gaming reflexes honed, and this is why I really dig DMnastics. It's fun, it keeps me in creative shape, and lets me work on materials for gaming sessions throughout the week. So, check it out and grab those uneven immovable rods. Like those uneven bars in the never mind. Check it out, have fun, it's great.
Hi, this is Lou Anders. I'm the author of the Thrones and Bones series, and I was a guest on DMnastics. But I have to say, just as a listener, every episode of DMnastics is like injecting pure imagination into your veins. I had a blast being on the show, but I listened to the show all the time, and DM Neil and his cohorts set up such a banquet of imaginative possibilities that just listening to the show, the ramifications echo over and over again in my mind and set all kinds of rocks rolling down the hill. I have maintained for a long time that every skill is a muscle. Any muscle can be improved by regularly working out. DMnastics is a great trainer. Highly recommended, not just for Dungeon Masters, but for any teller of tales.
Hello, this is Andrew Porcio from We're So Bad at Adventuring, wishing DM Neil and the DMnastics podcast a very happy one-year anniversary. To celebrate this prestigious and hopefully annual event, I would like to share my own take on DMnastics' very first exercise. One that, in fact, to this very day, hasn't been verbally discussed in any corner of the earth, at least not to my extensive knowledge in all podcast-related discussions. The exercise is to take these three magical item names and give them some sort of history and background and bonus based on the name. I'm hoping to take a good crack at it, so here I go. Item number one is called Thirst. So my idea would be it's a curved dagger found buried in the sand or a desert temple calling out to people. It was probably a gift from the High Priestess of the Sun and was often given to those who wanted to take an arduous trek out in the desert on a pilgrimage of some sort. The magical power of the blade is that the more days the wielder goes without drinking water, the more powerful the weapon becomes. So the first day of no water, it gains a significant damage bonus. The second day, the bonus grows in both damage and accuracy. And on the third day, the blade becomes intelligent, sharing secret knowledge and able to call for a new master when the owner dies of dehydration. So there you have it, friends. Sending all of my love to the fantastic team at DM's Block and saying a big thanks to Neil for all the amazing work he's put into a great show. Good job, buddy, and take care. Don't forget, you guys, keep listening to the show because you never want to be in a situation where your players ask, do you even lift?
And now, James and Tricasso presents DMnastics number one, working out my mind. First things first, thirst. It is an item found in a desert temple. What is it? It's a bowl with a couple of drops of water in it. Why is this an important fact? Well, because thirst, my friends, is a weapon of mass destruction. That's right. It turns entire bodies of water into deserts. You take thirst, you enchant it with some magic ritual, it absorbs your entire life force, which is why when you found thirst in the desert temple, a skeleton was clutching it, and then it absorbs an entire body of water and changes this new landscape into desert. It's used only in the most desperate times to destroy, like, entire, you know, civilizations that are dependent on bodies of water. So it can only be used, though, when the person who casts the ritual is willing to sacrifice themselves to the bowl. Now, we're talking about bear tooth, or should I say bear teeth. They're a consumable magic item found in a forest. What are they? Actual bear teeth. Okay, stay with me. Don't go away, because when you prick yourself with one of these bear teeth, oh, look, it's a bear tooth, oh, I found it in the woods, ah, ooh, ah, ah, oh, now you're a werebear. That's right, a werebear. Now, I know what you're thinking. James, what if I prick myself with one of these teeth and I'm already a werebear? Well, you become a were-dire bear. That's right. Never heard of it? What is it? It's the Neil Powell of lycanthropes. It's the best lycanthrope. That's right. So when you are a werebear, you know, people think you're weird. They're scared of you. But it's actually the best, because you're an enormous bear with bones sticking out of your face and stuff. Now, I know what you're thinking. What if I am a werebear, and then I get pricked with a bear tooth, and I'm already a were-dire bear? Guess what? Were-shark. Best were-animal. That's it. It's the DM Phil of lycanthropes. I know. Doesn't make sense? It doesn't. Nothing better than a were-shark, maybe a were-dire shark. That's what you become next if you get pricked with bear teeth. After that, you Benjamin Button. You go backwards. So once you get pricked and you're a were-dire shark, you become a shark. And then if you were already... Anyway, it's crazy. You gotta read the magic item description. There's a chart. Third magic item. Ehemelchrist. Ehemelchrist is found in a chest at the bottom of the ocean. What is it? Oh, it's just a small leather-bound tome that's also the spellbook and phylactery of an ancient lich. What? Of the same name, Ehemelchrist. So, when you hold this, you actually summon forth the ancient lich, who at this point is just all bones and stuff, and you have control of him. As long as you hold the book. Once you put the book down, or once, you know, I don't know, it gets ripped from your grasp by somebody else, that lich's main goal becomes to destroy you. And it will destroy you even in, if the book is in the hands of someone else who's friendly. It won't listen to that person until it has hunted you down and killed you. Also, it's really, really hard to destroy. You know, you gotta throw it into Mount Doom or something like that. So anyway, that is my contribution for DMnastics number one. My players never ask me if I lift, because they know. Oh, they know.
My name is Andrew Bleeker, also known as Friar Tuck on the DM's Block Forum and on Twitter. My first post to the first DMnastics, the one that DM Main Prize posted way back in February of 2015. He posted a few items to give descriptions to, and I chose all three of them, but the one that I... I'm most proud of was probably item number two, bear claw, found in a forest. My description for the bear claw was, bear claw, at first appearance, a simple bear claw necklace. However, this claw is a claw stolen from the great bear spirit. Casting detect magic reveals a strong magical aura around the item. All attempts to attune the item fail. But the first time the necklace is worn overnight during a full moon, it becomes permanently attuned to the wearer, and the wearer finds the claw has sunk into the skin and bound itself to the bones in the wearer's chest, and the player has modified lycanthropy, werebear. Every full moon, the wearer must make a DC 20 will save or become a dire bear for the duration of the time the full moon is in the sky. The player's actions as a dire bear are dictated by the DM and are consistent with those of an actual wild dire bear. All the equipment the player has is left behind, and any clothing or armor the player is wearing at the time is destroyed by the transformation. After this transformation happens at least once, the player may attempt to take a hybrid bear form at any time. When this is attempted, the player must again succeed a DC 20 will save. On a failed save, the player takes the form of a dire bear for 1d4 hours, under the same conditions as if it were a full moon. On a successful save, the player takes a hybrid bear form. Their physical statistics, strength, dex and con, hit points and armor class, and all of those are those of a werebear in hybrid form. Any clothing or armor worn is destroyed by the transformation, but all other equipment remains in their possession and equipped. The only way to remove the claw is to return it to the great bear spirit in the Feywild. So reading back over that, I think those DCs are pretty high there, but still sounds like a pretty cool thing, and I'm actually using a modified version of this in my current campaign. My favorite moments on the actual DMnastics podcast are, I'm going to just kind of say that it was a selfish moment. It was both being on the podcast with Joe Moniak, which was really fun, and I was really nervous about it, but it ended up being really fun, and I was really proud of that episode. And my other favorite moment was actually Morgan Jenkins geeking out about my Plague Witch post that I posted in response to one of the DMnastics. I was really proud of that post in the first place, and I was really happy to hear how much he enjoyed it and enjoyed the format of it. And recently, I had a new favorite DMnastics moment when I received a PM on the Gamers Plane website from a random user saying, "Hey, are you the Friar Tuck from DMnastics?" My 15 seconds of internet fame. Friar Tuck out.
Hey everyone, the Caleb G here from the RPG Academy podcast and network, and I just wanted to take a second to congratulate DM Neil for the 1 year anniversary of DM at Nastics. This is an awesome, awesome event. I'm so glad you guys have come so far. DM Nastics is a really cool concept. It is a great way to get everyone involved in the creative process. It's a great way to keep the creative juices flowing. I love how DMnastics gets a lot of feedback and involvement from the forums. I love how it brings on voices we've heard on this and other podcasts to really just do the thing we love the most, and that's creating something. Taking an idea, throwing it back and forth, fleshing it out, finding those pure little moments of inspiration and brilliance. DM Neil, I'm so glad to know you for this time. I'm so glad to see what you've done. I can't wait to see what happens in the next year. Congrats and good luck.
Hi, DM Doug Spiracy, Morgan Jenkins from the Going in Blind podcast, lifting for duty or reporting for weights. What is my favorite thing about DMnastics? I love creating worlds. But doing it by yourself can be daunting and exhausting. There is something truly magical about losing yourself in these tiny, isolated exercises, taking an abstract idea and breathing life into it, then witnessing and working with a community who are doing the same all around you. To have that then build on itself and become a world, a thing where you can call back to previous iterations and expand on them, to scratch that creative itch in a friendly and controlled environment with limitations that are based on a podcast forcing you to innovate. Then to have that reiterated upon in another part of that podcast to officially become a part of that world in some small way, that still floors me. What started as a fun weekly exercise for a subsection of an online community has blossomed into a world. And I am so happy to have this small part in it. My take on DMnastics 1. I chose Ihimlochrist because the name and location were interesting to me. Beartooth just comes with a lot of ideas already loaded into it. And Thirst, ho ho, the things I could do with thirst, but Himlachrist? I don't know what that means. It intrigues me. And for it to be hiding at the bottom of the ocean, not a pond or a river or an inlet, we're talking right out to sea and straight down into the dark. What is that all about? So I started with the name, because it's me, and of course I did. I mean, I love finding ways to make words tell me things their maker didn't intend, then messing with those things. So I broke the name down into various parts and searched online for those parts. Christ veered close to Christ, so I assumed I'd be heading in that sort of direction until I hit Latin. Lucrum, gain, profit, advantage. Nice. Could do something with that. But Lucrius, closer, and it means gods of gain. Plural. Fun. Ihimlu became just Imlu, which went to Imla, a biblical baby name. Plentitude. Circumcision. Let's stick with plentitude. So plentitude and gods of gain. Good, solid framework. Now to tie it back into Deambe, something I also like to do. While typing in Ihimlukrist into Google, I found only a link to the wiki, deambe.wikia.com. Searching ocean there, it gave me a few places to toy with. There's the Ebonheart Ocean and the Devatic or Devoutic Ocean. So the Devoutic Ocean is mentioned by Never in a post about the air explorer Givian Suveda. They write, "Sailors had attempted to cross the vast expanse, but either were rebuffed by the violent storms and waves, or swallowed by them. Sky Thresher was the result of his ingenuity and wealth." Okay, missing airship above a mysterious ocean made by a man with plentitude and gain. Now, plentitude or plenitude means to have an abundance or enough, but it also means power, kinda. So I have here a secret story about Givian searching the ocean, finding land and vanishing. So a Bermuda Triangle meets Icarus. Now just to make it sound cool and relate it to the item. The waves crashed against the side of his ship. An idea that in most other circumstances would not fill him with such dread. The Sky Thresher would never again pierce the clouds with its noble bow. 14 days since last contact. 2 weeks of miraculous discoveries, a hold full of wonders, and all of it for naught. They had told him the sky and sea worked together here, that the sea would reclaim what was hers. The wind lashed into him as he lowered the lifeboat into the sea, the salt stinging his eyes. It was his final attempt to placate whatever gods railed against him. He would return their most prized possession, their greatest treasure, the builder of worlds, Ihimlukrist. A simple stone, smoothed by water and time, the size of a grown man's chest, and yet, while featureless, somehow, an understanding that it contained the multitudes of everything and nothing. It had been given as a gift, but as he toppled overboard, the seething surface replaced by the strange, muffled non-quiet of the swirling waters. Watching his precious crate sink, he realized it was no gift. It was an assurance that he would never make it back alive. Ihimlukrist belonged to the sea now, as did he, and she would reclaim what was hers.
Hey guys, this is Rich Howard. What do I love about DMnastics? Well, first of all, it keeps me in shape. Second of all, I adore you guys. Neil and Phil, I love how excited you are about not just bringing this material out for the podcast for other people, but how you encourage all the people on the forums to be some of the most creative group thinkers I've ever seen. If people have been listening to DMnastics and they haven't gone to the forums to take a look at the raw material that this group has put together, it's just inspiring. My mind is blown regularly by what I see on the DMnastics forum. So just looking at the DMnastics number one, just the first one, Phil put up 3 items, simply with names and locations of where those items would be. Not even what the items would be. And if you check out that thread, the stuff people have put up there are amazing. From one person might think it's a weapon, one person might think it's a locket. And it's not just an item. This isn't just mechanics. They're talking about the history and the background, and they play off of each other and inspire each other in a way that you don't get to do very often. I've run some games of... I've been a co-storyteller for a live-action role-playing game, a LARP, for Werewolf. I did that for 2 years, way back in the day. And there was this synergy that happened because my other two storytellers and I worked really well together. And you don't get to do that very often, particularly in tabletop. But the forums allow you to do that. They don't just allow you to do that. They make you want to participate. You should go check it out. And a huge part of that is that warmth and welcomeness of the community that Neil and Phil provide. Not just on the forums, but also every time they post an episode of DMnastics. So thanks, guys, for a ton of inspiration that you've given me and the smiles you put on my face every time I hear your voices. Congratulations on a year of amazing, amazing inspiration.
Something else we wanted to bring you guys in this anniversary edition of DMnastics was some of the times where Neil and I have been less than perfect and more than comical. So here are a few bloopers.
Woo! Master Mob-maniac? Master of Beard? No, that's not it. I don't know. I lost my train of thought. And we'll
that's
cut,
okay.
And we'll cut most of this out.
Yes.
Okay, you take it. Done.
You take it.
The episode we're going to tie back. Oh, I'm going to kill you.
Okay, proceed.
It does mean that I occasionally have to, in maybe what might be considered an unmanly fashion, go into Michael's and like hang out in their bead aisle for a while till I find beads that I really like. But
the... Man, I feel like I'm trying to use a bunch of $6 words.
The whispering of the wanderers.
Well, I just wanted to say, like, this is a supposition, and I'm like, I get it. Like, that's a real word, but, like, why am I trying to say that right now? Teach me to work at a college.
Well, you've got 13 minutes of audio to cut out. So yep. I'm actually just going to stop and start a new one.
Okay. That's probably a good idea. Hey, we're back.
Hey, yo.
This time... in the Dungeon Master's Block.
And we're back with Angel's manager, George Knox. George, how do you feel about today's game?
Well, I think everyone did a good job, and we just need to score more points than the other team, and then we'll win.
Got to go with the John Madden one.
Well, it looks like they're not running as fast as the other people.
It looks like, to me, if you get the ball across the line, you get a touchdown. Boom, you get a touchdown.
Turducket. Turducket.
So with all of those things said, we would just like to implore you, the listeners, to join the forums and take part in these DMnastics challenges and exercises, as well as get involved in all of the amazing conversations that we have there. And when you sign up and make a forum account, you can go back and there are 60 plus DMnastics for you to hit the gym with. Just hit the ground running and just start creating for your world and for your players.
And to do that, as you may well know, head over to dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net and try some DMnastics so your players don't ask, do you even lift?
Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting, I did over 1,000. Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.